Today on Family Talk.
There are lots of euphemisms we use in our culture to describe a successful marriage. Expressions like, they're on the same page, or they really are in sync, come to mind. But in order to have a deep and meaningful marriage, every married couple needs to understand the importance of speaking the same language of love with their spouse. Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh. On today's broadcast, we're continuing a conversation we began last time with relationship experts Drs. Les and Leslie Parrott. The Parrotts have authored a number of best-selling books on marriage and relationships. The conversation you're about to hear centers on their book called Love Talk, Speak Each Other's Language Like You Never Have Before. Drs. Les and Leslie Parrott are the co-founders of the Center for Relationship Development at Seattle Pacific University, where Les also serves as a professor of psychology. Dr. Leslie Parrott is a marriage and family therapist in the Seattle area. Doctor?
We always have to kind of recap a little bit because you can't assume that the people listening today were able to hear yesterday and vice versa. So people are able to kind of hit and miss with listening to the broadcast. So I think we ought to take just a few moments, Les and Leslie, to talk about what we're talking about, which is communication.
Right.
It's not a new subject, certainly. Communication, everybody knows that's important. But how do you pull that off? And
right.
What are some of the principles that make it easier for a husband and wife to understand one another? And there's a lot more here than meets
right.
the eye.
Yeah, and like we said last time, we've been on a quest to really apply this to our own lives and feel like we've discovered something unique that creates a safe place
right.
in our relationship. Like we said last time, to create almost a tangible room in your home where you could be guaranteed to have a wonderful conversation. That's what Love Talk is about.
And you can say a lot of words to each other and not be understood. Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Not really be communicating. Right, Leslie?
Yeah, and in that way, we kind of feel like we've cracked a code that helps us make that connection and speak each other's language like we never have before, because we've had that experience in our own marriage where you just don't understand me. You know, why yeah. is it that we can't get to that place where we feel fully at home, fully understood, and safe with each other? And this has made a difference.
And that's what it's about, feeling yeah. safe. That's what Love Talk is about, feeling safe. And once you have that, boy, does life begin to look a lot different.
All right, now in the back of your book, Love Talk, and let me say it again, the subtitle is Speak Each Other's Language Like You Never Have Before. In the back of the book is a little test, an inventory.
Yeah, there's something kind of unusual about this book, and we worked with our publisher, Zondervan, on this because we actually, you're reading along and it'll tell you to do something unusual, and that is to slip the dust jacket off of this hardcover book, and you'll find an inkjetted code back there that's specific to your book. Uh-huh. And why? Well, you take that little code and you can go to our website at realrelationships.com, punch that code in, and take what we call the Love Talk Indicator. And the really cool thing is it'll give you about, 12 to 15 pages
right.
on your talk style, how you're hardwired for communication. And that'll be helpful to understand that. But then you get your spouse to go on, do the same thing. And then we will combine those codes and give you a 24?
A couple's report. It can be as long as 30 pages, depending on the couple.
Yeah.
You know, every
yeah.
report's unique to this couple.
But it combines your two talk styles
right.
and shows you, in fact, very specifically, it might say, here's six things you should never say to me because of the way I'm hardwired.
Yeah, I personally, and I love this because some of these pages are perforated. You can tear them out and hand them to your spouse. These are six things never to say to me, because when you do, you know, communication breaks down for me.
Right. Or here's things that I need to hear more often
right.
from you. So it gets very specific. But let's back up from it and take a look, though, at these fear factors, these safety needs. There's four of them.
I want to get to those. But first, give people, Leslie, a feel for that test. What kind of questions are asked?
Well, I'll tell you what it does, it asks questions that helps you understand your talk style. And it's all based on this idea that we've been talking about, these fear factors. And let me just tell you what's behind it, because we started, when we were on this quest to really uncover what would it take to have great communication, what we started noticing about ourselves is we do a great job of communicating until we have a breakdown. Something happens and one of us doesn't feel safe. And when you get afraid in a situation, when you have fear, you get kind of crazy in your behavior. We had a funny moment between us that
fear.
They're easy to remember because there's an acronym and it spells talk, but we spell it a little bit differently. T-A-L-Q. Talk, okay? Each one of those represents a fear factor. T is for time. Some of us are hardwired to feel safe when we're controlling our time. And we feel threatened when we're losing control of that time that we value because we're pretty urgent. We go through life, and I say we because this is my number one fear factor.
Yes.
I'm hardwired to use my time well. This is a commodity I want to protect. And so I'm efficient with my time. I want to be productive with my time. And there's people out there listening to us, even with this little short introduction, going, boy, that's me. I am the same way. I'm hardwired for time, and I'm urgent about it.
And yes, and urgency is the key there, because if this is your fear factor, if being in control of your time is what makes you feel safe and not being in control makes you feel unsafe, it makes you extremely urgent. And if you have a problem, anything that crops up in your day, you are going to respond to that with a very aggressive approach. You're going to want to take care of that now, get it off your checklist, and get on with your life.
Yeah, or you find yourself in the midst of a conversation that seems to just keep going on and on. Didn't we already cover this ground, you know?
I mean, never do that.
Or probably the most common scenario is we have a problem to solve, and I want to solve it right now.
No matter what that problem is.
Big or little. And she has, since time is not a fear factor for her, she's like, oh, let's just give it time.
Let's
we
be
can just,
patient.
You know, just give
sure.
it more time. And I'm like, give it time. Come on, let's get going on this thing, you know? So that's where some couples have that breakdown in communication because one of them is hardwired for time as their fear factor.
It could be anything. I remember this summer, Les was trying to prepare our oldest son for kindergarten. He just felt he needed to know a few things before he got into school. So you were working with him for like, I don't know, I mean, 30 minutes, 45
minutes.
Yeah,
and I was teaching him the difference between coins and nickel and a penny. And I'm sure every school teacher out there is saying, that's way too advanced. He doesn't need to know that at this stage. And, you know, how many pennies are in a nickel? And now I know that. But at the time, I thought, why isn't little John getting this? And so after working with him a little while, I finally said, stay here, John. Let me go talk to Mommy for a minute. And I went into the kitchen. I said to Leslie, I said, we've got a problem. She said, what? And I said, John doesn't understand money. And he said, well, he's not even in kindergarten. What do you mean he doesn't understand money? He shouldn't understand it yet. And I said, well, I think we need to get a tutor. And she said, what do you mean? We don't need a tutor. He hasn't even started his first day of kindergarten yet. You're way too, you know, urgent about this. And I said, well, let's get a tutor and call the students. And
call the university today and get a college student out here to tutor John. I mean, that's how every problem is for him. Let's solve it now. He's a very aggressive problem solver. And that's what anyone whose primary fear factor is getting in control of their time.
Well, and even as I was talking about that, I see Leslie begin to well up with tears a little bit.
Yes,
and I thought, what did I say? Where did this come from?
Well, I'll tell you where it came from, because he tapped into my primary fear factor, and that's that A in that talk, which is approval. Anytime I start to fear that I have lost the approval, you know, of someone who I love and respect, and I'm in a conversation, that's when I get afraid and I start shutting down. And all I could hear in his comments were, you have been a terrible mom. You haven't prepared your son for the outside world. We're going to need to get an extra help, you know, in order to get him ready to function in society. And I welled up with tears.
And that thought never crossed my mind. All I was trying to do was solve the problem.
Yeah.
And here she was. I've threatened her fear factor, her safety need.
Let me press you guys a little bit, okay? That's what makes for a good conversation. The title fear factor seems not to address all the things that I would be feeling in a negative context. I might be feeling irritation or frustration or competing objectives a strong desire of one sort or another, and not fear. I can't think of many situations in my relationship with Shirley where I would feel something that I would call fear. I'm not sure how you're using that. Yeah, you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think
about?
I do. I think what we're trying to get at here is that you may feel, whether you even know it or not, emotionally threatened. In other words, when a couple has a communication meltdown, they're typically having that meltdown because one of them doesn't feel safe. Somehow, you've tapped into their threat level for them, whether it is time or the loss of approval. Time would be the fear of losing control of your time.
But it might not be an emotional experience. And that's what you're saying, because really only some of us live in our feelings. And I'll tell you, lives in their feelings, the people whose fear factor is approval. If that's not high for you, you don't evaluate anything, you know, on the basis of your emotions. But still, like you said, your objectives, your main goals might be being threatened, or you might, you know, you just, this is not what you wanted to focus on.
I would not feel threatened. I'm very comfortable with the relationship with Shirley and have been for all these years. So I would not feel unsafe.
I might feel uncomfortable
about something. I don't like what's going on between us because we're coming from a different perspective. I may not feel understood, and that may frustrate me, but I don't feel unsafe or afraid.
You don't feel psychologically underneath it. You don't feel underneath this issue, whatever it might be, that she's tapped into something that threatens we've only talked about two of them so far. We have two to go. But your fear of losing control of what you wanted to get done today because time
is
important.
That's not fear. That's frustration. You know, I got a to-do list, and the day's getting away. It's already 11:30, and I haven't gotten started on it. And Shirley wants me. We had a big fight one time over the umbrella in the backyard, and Shirley wanted me to go out there and clean that thing. I'd been gone for 6 weeks. I came home. I was tired. I wanted to watch an SC Alabama football game.
Right.
I didn't want to go out there and clean that umbrella. Well, she had 75 people coming to our house that night. We were allowing a Sunday school class to use our house. And she was concerned about the fact that it was dirty. And so it was very logical that she wanted me to do that. But I was frustrated because I was tired and I wanted to do my own thing. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't unsafe. I was just
How about Shirley, though? How did she feel in that situation when you said, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do my own thing. Right now. I need to relax.
She felt not understood because it was perfectly reasonable for her to say, I don't want these people coming in here and that umbrella being dirty.
Right.
You know, it may be semantics. I don't know.
It could be. But do you think that underneath that message, she might have felt a little bit, maybe the message to her was, well, if he loved me, he would really do that. And therefore, I'm losing his approval, perhaps, or it wouldn't
return. I can't even begin to know what Shirley's fear factor might be. But I do think women might relate more to the term safety
and fear than men. Probable.
Men might feel frustrated or anxious or disappointed or angry even. But what's threatening it is the same dynamic. And when you understand it, that's what helps you crack that code, because you know what pushes your hot buttons in a conversation.
Yeah. What are the other two fear
factors?
Yeah,
so you have TALQ, time, approval. The third is loyalty. Some of us are hardwired for fear of losing a sense of profound loyalty. Now, of course, we all want loyalty in our relationships.
Yeah, this isn't about commitment or covenant in a marriage. This is more about what you love, what makes you feel safe in your lifestyle, and it has to do with resisting change. You love things to be the way they are.
Predictability.
Yeah.
And you love that groove and that you drive home from work the same way. Some people like spontaneity, and why should any day be the same as any other? Let's make everything do. And so this particular need of loyalty, for some, can really get under another person's skin if that person doesn't respect it and value it.
I'm fairly high on my need for loyalty. Les is very low. I mean, he'll hang up from a phone call and he'll come in and say, hey, I just talked to Joe and we're going to go to Phoenix tomorrow. And he's thrilled. He loves a sudden change. I'm not like that at all. What about my small group? What about Tammy? I was going to have lunch with her. And, you know, and we just can't suddenly change something. I don't even want to change the grocery store where I shop. I love to go to the same place. I know what to expect. And, you know, it's just a high need. That makes me feel emotionally safe, not having a lot of change in my life.
And so in our conversations, we're negotiating change a lot. A lot of conversations in marriage are dealt with
that. Whether it's just changing the schedule or what I thought we were going to do for our date night. You know, maybe Les said last week, let's try this restaurant that, you know, and that sounds like a great date. And then we get to that night and he says, you know what? I'm not in the mood for that. Here's what I'd like to do. I'm like, well, I've been looking forward to that all week.
You know, that is a fundamental difference between men and women.
It is.
Men like change. I like spontaneity. I like newness. I like challenge. I like, aggressive new possibilities. And Shirley likes predictability and stability and certainty and
long-term.
Yes, she is. Long-term security and so on. That's why a move is usually so much more difficult for a woman than a man. And if you're going to move as a family, a husband had better understand that this is going to be very challenging for his
wife. I agree
with
you, but there are men that are also hardwired for this sense of stability,
well,
too.
Well, and we know him. I mean, we have a friend, George, who's been driving the same car. I mean, he could afford anything he wants, but he's been driving the same truck for 30 years because, you know, a good friend gave it to him, and it means something to him, and he's loyal. He doesn't want to change anything in his life.
He doesn't like the furniture to be changed in the living room or, you know.
Even this week, he was getting the engine fixed, which needed an overhaul, and I said, well, tell me about that. And he was trading out from a childhood friend who remembered him defending him on the playground in grade school. I mean, this man's life is about relationships he started when he was a child, and those are the friends he loves today. So it can be in a man.
When we talk about this to a large auditorium, one of the things I'll do just to illustrate the point is to say, okay, now, you know, for the last half of this day, let's just trade seats. Everybody get up and sit on the other side of the room or down front, and they start to look around like, what? This is crazy.
You
know, why would we do
it?
That?
Yeah.
And I say, there you go. It illustrates the point. We like that loyalty.
There are some people that go, hey, that's great, you know, because they're the spontaneous ones. They love nothing to be the same.
All right, what's Q?
D-A-L-Q. Q is for quality.
Well, review what?
Time, approval, T-A-L-Q, time, approval, loyalty, and Q is for quality. Some of us are hardwired for fear of losing a quality standard in our life. Now, hopefully we all prize integrity. This has something to do with a little bit deeper than that, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is more about decisions. How do you make decisions in your life? You know, someone who is high in their need for quality puts everything through due process. They don't just want to do the right thing. They want to do it in the right way. You know, they don't want to make any mistakes with their process. They read the instructions. They carefully consider everything about their life.
If they're going to buy a lawnmower, they check consumer reports. They're going to do their research. Now, I'm low on this. I'm high on time and low on quality. So, in fact, just recently when I got little Johnny a tricycle, you know, it comes in a million pieces and you're reading the instructions and I'm thinking, oh, I can just do intuitively, you know, I'll know how to put this together. Halfway through that, I realized the rear axle was out an extra like 6 inches.
Actually, John noticed that.
John said, Daddy,
something
I don't think it's
here,
supposed to
Dad.
Look that way. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, John, this is how they're doing them now, you know. Let's just get it going, you know. And a person that is high on quality would never approach it that way.
I mean, it's an event to, you know, ever go to a restaurant with someone who's high in quality? I mean, they don't just sit down and say, I feel like eating this. You know, they study the menu. They consider, they want to hear all the specials. They want to know every option, and they carefully make their decision. And that's what it's like, you know, for someone who has this high need for quality.
Shirley will study the menu endlessly and then want what I ordered.
Yes. Yes.
Well, there's that too. I just want him to order something I didn't order that I also wish I could have, so I could taste it.
And now tell me, does the test tell people where they are on those four fear factors?
Yeah.
Does it come back with a score?
Yeah. So if they go online and they punch this code in and take this test, 10 minutes, the Love Talk Indicator, it'll give them a printout of several pages on where they are. Very specifically on each of those four. There's over 19,000 different combinations when you look at the high, medium, low combinations.
Yeah, it's not just some cookie cutter, you know, formula. My highest need is for approval. That's when I feel the safest. But I have a high need for loyalty too. And so when Les comes out of a study and says, hey, we're going to Phoenix tomorrow, I react against that, but because my need for his approval is higher than my need for loyalty, it trumps it. And I often go along with experiences and changes I would never choose because I need that more.
If you spent 2 hours getting dinner ready and got a new recipe and really went after it and set the table very nicely and all that you do, and Les came home and ate it and then said, thanks, babe. This was a good meal, and then went off to do some work. Would you be hurt?
I often say when he's through with his dinner. So did you like it?
Yeah.
Did you really like it?
What you're
matter
really
of
saying
empty
is, do you approve
yeah,
of what I
exactly.
did?
Yeah, exactly. I ask. He's sometimes afraid to compliment something I'm wearing because he's afraid I might keep it on for the next 5 days, you know, if he really likes
she
it.
She feeds off of that approval. But I'll tell you what, once we got into this research and understood this, and I know that she's hardwired for approval, man, I want to give that to her because I didn't really know that before we did this research. And now that I know she's hardwired for that, I look for ways to show her how much I, in quotes, approve of whatever it is that she's trying to accomplish.
Well, that's what's so powerful about this. It also has made me extremely patient. You know, for someone who has a high need to be in control of his time, I used to find him blunt and even sometimes mean, because he'd want to solve a problem so fast, I'd feel like, hey, you know, what's going on here? Let's connect, you know?
And I'm trying to solve the problem to get it off of our plate so that we can love each
now
other.
Now I don't take it so personally.
Cross one off,
I go, okay, this is about his time. It's not about me.
We have a friend who in Seattle, Chuck and Barb, and he said that he was putting a Ritz cracker and a chunk of cheese on it in the microwave, and his wife walked by and just uttered one sentence. As she walked by, she said, that cheese is too big. Now, what he heard was, you big fat slob, I can't believe you're eating that much cheese. What she meant was, that cheese is too big to melt evenly. Never entered her mind to make that kind of a judgment on him, but because his need is high for approval, that's what he read into it.
Because if you have a high need for approval, you're tuned into signs of disapproval.
Well, we've got a high need for time management here. Right. The title of the book, again, is Love Talk. Speak each other's language like you never have before. Doctors, because they're both doctors, Les and Leslie Parrott. And it's fun talking to you guys. It always is. And you're continuing to write, I know. And it's a real pleasure to have you come here all the way from Seattle to be with us. And I think that a lot of people are going to find help in this book. Les and Leslie, known you for a long, long time. It is really good to
thanks,
have you
Doc.
Back with
it's
us.
It's so fun to be with you always. And I'm not going to call them fear factors for you. Safety.
Irritable characteristics.
Yeah, that rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
I guess, yeah.
Right. It's great to be with you.
It's a pleasure.
That concludes 2 days' worth of informative conversation about speaking the language of love with your spouse here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Dr. Dobson's guests have been Dr. Les Parrott and his wife, Dr. Leslie Parrott. Speaking the language of love has been our theme. These principles are found in the Parrott's book called Love Talk, Speak Each Other's Language Like You Never Have Before. You'll find information on how to obtain a copy when you visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. While you're there, be sure to browse through the hundreds of other resources available to you on this important topic of communication in marriage. They include Dr. Dobson's best-selling books, What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women, and Love for a Lifetime. You'll find complete details on how to order these or any of Dr. Dobson's books when you visit our broadcast homepage at drjamesdobson.org. And if any of Dr. Dobson's books have had a positive impact on your marriage or your family, let your voice be heard using our new listener feedback line. Call toll-free 844-823-2669. Finally, this word of thanks for your prayers and ongoing financial support of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. This program is completely listener-supported. We rely on God through your tax-deductible financial contributions to help us continue in the work to which He has called us. You can make your donation securely online when you go to drjamesdobson.org. You can make your contribution over the phone when you call toll-free, 877-732-6825. Again, the toll-free number to call with your tax-deductible donation is 877-732-6825. Be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
How do people often come to you asking for advice, direction in life, maybe prayer over tough issues? Could be about their marriage, maybe about their children, maybe a tough issue that they're facing right now. If that's you, have you ever thought about going back to school or furthering your education? I'm so excited to tell you about a brand new center that has just started at the world's most exciting university, Liberty University. Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and executive director of the Center for Counselor Education and Family Studies at Liberty. We have partnered up with world-renowned psychologist, marriage and family expert, Dr. James Dobson, to create the James C. Dobson Center for Child Development, Marriage and Family at Liberty. But here's what's most important. We now have three programs of study coming out of that center where you can, regardless of major, doesn't matter what you're studying, whether you're going to go into psychology, business, science, or what have you, you can now get a minor from the James C. Dobson Center online and become a certified marriage and family relationship coach while you're going to college. Yes, you can. While you're going to graduate school, too, regardless of what you're studying, God has opened up a door here that's so unique. To learn more, just simply go to liberty.edu/Dobson. You'll find out everything you need to know. I can't believe God has opened up this door and brought Liberty University and Dr. James C. Dobson together to offer this program. I hope you go there. Liberty University. It's liberty.edu/Dobson.